Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
I want to read a scripture to you. It's a psalm, and it's the last psalm, Psalm 150. Psalm 150. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His acts of power. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. Praise Him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise Him with the harp and lyre. Praise Him with tambourine and dancing. Praise Him with the songs and flute, with the strings and flute. Praise Him with the clash of cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Has anybody worked out what I'm going to be speaking on this morning? Praise. Praising the Lord. And I just want to say to you, it is so important that we develop a lifestyle of praising God. I think this is one area where the church universally fails. I honestly do. It was lovely to hear the praise and worship here this morning, and this is a good praising church. But universally, the church fails in praising God the way that they should. I believe we need to develop a lifestyle of praise. So what is praise? When we talk about praising God, what is praise? Praise isn't just coming to church on a Sunday morning and singing some hymns or songs. You say, well, that's praise. No, praise is complimenting God. If I praise you, I am complimenting you. Come on. I am actually, so our songs that we sing should be a compliment to God. When we sing, it should come from not our minds only, but our hearts as a compliment. We all love to receive compliments. Now, it's pretty dark at the back there, so I can't see too well, but how many people today have received a compliment? Hands up. Let me have a look. Oh, quite a lot of you. Very good. I haven't. No. But anyway, it doesn't matter. But when you're complimented, it's nice. Come on. It's nice to have somebody compliment. Nothing wrong with complimenting somebody. And before the day is finished, make sure you compliment somebody and me. And when you compliment me, mean it. Or don't bother. So praise is complimenting God. We're paying God a compliment when we praise Him. That's basically what it is. I can say a few other things connected with that, but basically, you're complimenting God. And some of our songs this morning that we sang were very complimentary to God, aren't they? Telling God what He's done for us, thanking Him what He's done for us, and complimenting Him. Because in your prayer, you were saying how good God is, how wonderful He is, how marvelous He is, how powerful He is, how great He is. We need to concentrate more on God than what we do and give Him praise when we do it. So praise is complimenting God. Well, when do we praise God? When? Got three scriptures that I'm going to read, just very short ones. And these are so important. This is from Ephesians chapter 5. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Can you say amen to that? Yes. Be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Sing and make melody in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Always giving thanks to God the Father. And our next scripture is Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. This is a lovely scripture. Verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your heart to God. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. That's a lovely scripture. Then one more. 1 Thessalonians. And this is chapter 5. It says, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Actually, we'll read one more. We'll do that one from Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. When do we praise him?
Always.
When?
Always.
Always. That's a shock to some of you, because you thought it was just on a Sunday morning, didn't you? Come on. Always. Sunday morning is an opportunity to praise him corporately. But tomorrow morning, I'm not going to wake up with all you people. I won't be with you people, but I can still praise him. I can praise him with a group of people. I can praise him on my own. I got to give thanks to him in all circumstances for all things. We read those scriptures quickly, and they can become very glib, because we read, it says, give thanks always in all circumstances and for everything. And it says, and sing and make melody in your heart. Sing hymns and songs and spiritual songs with melody in your heart. Praise God. Do you feel very melodious? If you don't, shame on you. You're a Christian. We should develop a lifestyle of praise. I was speaking to a Christian this week who's developed a lifestyle of complaining. Serious. This person has a lifestyle of complaining, a Christian. Every time I meet with this person, I know there's going to be complaints, one after the other. Stop complaining and start praising God and giving thanks to God, for he is good. You say, well, it's not very good out there. No, it's not. He's good. We need to develop a lifestyle of praise in the world in which we live. So praise is complimenting God. We should praise him all the time. Hallelujah. I hope this is going to convict you. All the time. When things are going well, and when things are not going well. When you've got plenty of money, or whether you've got nothing. If you've got a healthy body, or if you've got sickness in your body. Whatever the circumstances, still praise God, for God is good. I remember telling you once when I was flying out of Melbourne, it was stormy. And I didn't think the plane would take off because it was so stormy and it was pouring with rain and it was dark with all these ominous clouds. And to my amazement, it started to take off. Got to the runway and it was shaking as it was going down there. And I thought, wow, we're not taking off in this storm, are we? And he took off in that storm. And I want to tell you, that plane shook. It was so windy, so wet, so rainy. It took off. We hit these clouds. And within what seemed just like seconds, we broke through the clouds and we were above them. And it was bright and sunny and the sky was blue. I looked down, I could see the darkness of the clouds, but funny enough, those dark clouds now, as looking down at them, were white. I'm looking at them from a different angle. Come on. And as I was flying, I had a spiritual experience in that plane. I was flying in that plane and I said, oh God, if only I could break through like this in all of life's problems. And the Spirit spoke to me and said, you can. And I remember saying in my spirit, how? And the Lord gave me a real, sometimes God wraps us over the knuckles. I got a wrapping over the knuckles from God. God says, I've told you many times. I've told you exactly how you break through. You break through by praising me. Come on. It may be shaky, it may be dark, it may be cold, it may be dismal, it may be a lot of bad things, but when you start to praise God, you start to break through. And then you look at your problems from a different perspective, because God says all things work together for good to them that love God. I'm not going to look at the bad things in my life as darkness. I'm going to see fluffy clouds, because I know somehow, some way, sometime, God will turn them for my good. Amen. This is not nonsense what I'm speaking to you. I'm speaking to you the word of the living God. It's not nonsense, it's truth. But Christians don't see it. This person I was speaking to last week, nothing but complaining, moaning, groaning. No songs in their heart. No songs on their lips. No praise and adoration for God. Just looking at the complexity of life and complaining as if it was God's fault. Well, if you're like that, cut it out. If you're a Christian, cut it out. If you're a non-Christian, carry on. Because you've got nothing else. If you're a non-Christian, you've got nothing but this world to look at. But I'm a Christian. A lot of people here today are Christians. And we could see beyond this. We could see that no matter how many clouds there are, the sun is still shining. Come on, the sky is still blue, because God is for us and not against us. So praising God is complimenting him. When do we praise? We praise him all the time. Where do we praise? Well, that psalm we read, it said we praise God in the sanctuary. Now, in the Old Testament, the sanctuary was a temple. And people would go to the temple and praise and worship God. Praise God in the sanctuary. Well, we're not in the Old Testament now. We're in the New Testament. There is no temple of a building that's built with bricks. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. We are the sanctuary of the Holy Spirit. Where is the Holy Spirit today? He's not in a building. He's in our hearts. Hallelujah! He's in your heart. He's not in the building. He's in your heart. You're in the building. But he's in your heart. You are God's sanctuary. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's the word of God. I'll quote a scripture. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I praise God in the sanctuary. Here. I praise him in my heart. Hallelujah. And I try to make sure that that's where I do praise him from. The heart. Not just the mind. Not just with a tongue. But the heart. That my praise to God is from my heart. Now, sometimes we can get all sorts of things happening to us, and we can come into a church service on a Sunday morning, and we can be down in spirit, and the songs start. And we know the songs, and we know the music. Apart from that was a good new song we started with. I like that. In fact, that if we get time at the end, because it might not finish till 1 o'clock today, but if we get time at the end, we might sing that one, because that was very in line with what I'm saying today. But some of us, we can come into a meeting and start singing the songs because we know the words, we know the music, and it's just a head thing, but it's not coming from there. God wants it to come from there. Come on. Come on. God doesn't want you to come into church on a Sunday morning and look at the musicians and think that they're your entertainment. You know, you would just sit and listen to those beautiful songs and the lovely music, and that's how No. We are God's entertainment. Yes. Oh, you didn't like that, did you? I don't care what you've done, where you've been. You may not be liking yourself when you come into church, but he loves you. He might not like what you're doing, but he loves you. And when we start to praise him, we are his entertainment. He's looking at us. He's getting blessed. He's getting filled because we are praising him, because we've got our eyes focused upon him. Hallelujah. I tell you what, this is good preaching, isn't it? Who's enjoying this? I am. Who hasn't got their hand up? Who hasn't got their hands up? Come on. This is good preaching. Praise God. So we praise him in the sanctuary. But how do we preach him? Praise him. How do we praise God? Somebody once asked me this question. How do you praise God? And I went away and I thought about it. I tried to come up with a study on how to praise God. So I looked at the scriptures all the way through on praise. And I discovered there's only one way to praise God. So I came back to this person. I says, I found out how you praise God. They said, how? I said, there's only one way. This person looked at me. I said, frowning. I said, what? I said, there's only one way you can praise God. What's that? I said, loudly. Loudly. Come on. Loudly. Loudly. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. That's loud. Come on, that's loud. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and the lyre. Praise him with the tambourine and dancing. You was right about dancing this morning. You was right, but not many dancers noticed. Shame on you. He was being scriptural. He's bringing the word of God. Praise him with the dancing. We got to do that. We got to, and I used to dance a lot, but as you get older, these legs never work like they used to as you're younger. So I keep my legs down, but I move. Have you noticed? I move. I praise God, and I do a little bit of movement with the leg, not too much, because I'm an old bloke. But I can. I'm not gonna say to you, I'm old. I can't dance. Of course I can dance. Watch me. I can dance, praise God, hallelujah. We can dance. And there's nothing wrong with that. The scripture says we can praise him with the dancing as well as praising with the instruments. It says, praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with the resounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Does that not sound like it's loud to you? Come on. I can't see you, so I'm hoping that you're agreeing with me. We read a scripture from Hebrews. Can we have that scripture up again from Hebrews, if you got it there? Hebrews 13. Look at this to prove my point. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually, all the time, offer to God a sacrifice of praise. What is it? The fruit of our lips. Come on, say it. The fruit of our lips. What? So when you're praising God, you're using your lips. You don't praise God like this. Most of you do. But you shouldn't. Praise him with your lips. Open your mouth and praise him. Literally do it. Now, you may say to me, oh, I can't do that. It's a little bit nerve-wracking for me. And I've got one of those personalities that's very quiet, and I get intimidated easily. Well, you're looking at a bloke now who used to be like that. I remember when I was pastoring a church in Armidale, I only just took the church over, and God started to bless us in a miraculous way, and people were coming in, we're seeing souls saved. It was wonderful. And then we, in those days, we used to sit on the platform, the pastors and the guest speaker. Of course, it's all changed now, which is good. But the pastor would sit on the platform and the guest speaker. And then when you introduce the guest speaker, the pastor would sit down and then he would preach. Well, we were praising God. And the guest speaker said to me, "Can I introduce a chorus?" So I said, "Yeah, of course you can." So he got up and he introduced a chorus. He must have practiced with a couple of musicians beforehand. And they started to sing this chorus. I thought, "Oh, this is lovely." And they were all sitting down, everybody was. And he was standing up and he was singing with them, getting him to sing it. Next moment, people in the congregation stood. They actually stood. I thought, who told them to stand up? Well, I didn't. But they stood. And within 2 minutes, people started to dance. Nobody had ever danced in our church. I had never danced in church. The only place I would dance would be in the bathroom where nobody could see me. I was so shy, sort of, you know. I know you find that hard to believe, but I'm an Englishman. Very reserved, not outgoing at all. So these people were dancing. And I thought, what is happening here? I thought, who's told these people to dance? I was shocked. I'm the pastor of the church, and I was shocked. We've got a big congregation, bigger than this congregation. People were dancing. And I thought, what do I do here? Do I try and stop this and tell them to sit down? And suddenly the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, if you don't get in on this, you're going to lose out. He said that to me, the Holy Spirit. Get in on it. And I said, no way. I'm standing like this, rigid. No way am I going to dance. And I felt the Spirit really speak to me, and I felt myself going a bit embarrassed. I thought, oh, and I've never done this before. Okay, here goes. So I started to dance. And the moment I started to dance, I had a release in my spirit that I can't put into words. I'm telling you, the embarrassment disappeared. It went. And then I danced then all the time. This was going back in 81, 82, this would be. And I've been dancing since then until I got old. But I'm still dancing, you see. I'm dancing with the upper part of my body. Amen? So there's no excuse for any young or older ones here to say, you can do it. And if you say you're embarrassed, break through it. Come on, break through the embarrassment for God. David danced before the Lord, and he danced with all his might. His wife, she despised him for dancing and making a fool of himself in front of all those people. He was a king, but he was dancing before God. And God judged her because she judged him. Nothing wrong with getting excited with God. Come on. There's nothing wrong with getting excited with God. God wants you to be excited with him and dance in his presence. Amen. But some of you have got to learn the first thing before you even get into dancing, opening your mouth to sing, to preach, to actually say, thank you, Lord, glory to God. And when I'm talking about praising God, I was saved in a Pentecostal church, so from the word go, people around me were praising God. They weren't dancing, but they were praising God. And so I started to praise God, but I never really understood or realized what I'm praising God for. And I realized my vocabulary of praise was this: praise God, amen, hallelujah, glory. That was my vocabulary of praise, which, by the way, is a bit bigger than some of yours. But that was my vocabulary of praise. Praise the Lord. That's what, amen. He's saying hallelujah, which is praise the Lord, and glory. And I felt, God, I got to, imagine if we had a coffee after church together. And in my conversation with you, I only said 4 words over and over again. Every time I just said the same 4 words, you think, what's wrong with this guy? Well, how do you think God feels when he hears the same thank you that should be from our heart? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory. So what I did, I started to look in the book of Psalms for quotations on praise so that I increased my vocabulary of praise. Hallelujah. So, and I'm still trying to do that, to increase my vocabulary of praise. Not just to say, amen, praise the Lord, hallelujah, but to say, God, you're great, you're marvelous, you're mighty, you're awesome. You're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the first, the last, the everlasting one. You're the beginning and the end. There's no one like you. Opening up that vocabulary of praise. When people are courting and they're going out together, they say more than four words together. Come on, they say, oh, you've got such beautiful eyes. My wife always used to tell me that. No, I'm joking. I used to tell her that. You know, the vocabulary of praise needs to... That's all part of complimenting. And I think the church needs to learn how to compliment God, how to praise Him, how to increase their vocabulary of praise. So we come in on a Sunday morning, and those first 30 minutes or so here are just worshiping and praising and reveling in His beauty and in His presence. I didn't get one amen then, did I, Lord? You're not going to sleep on me, have you? Are you hearing me?
Yes.
Not just sitting there trying to get warmed up. And that's one of the things we used, back in England, we used to start the service before we started it. So say we were starting at 11 o'clock in the morning, which we did. We'd start at 10 to 11, singing choruses, listen, to warm the people up. Why do we come to church needing to be warmed up? We should come into church hot, on fire for God. No matter what the weather is, we should come in, if it's stinking hot or freezing cold, we should come in ready to praise the Lord. You don't have to wind me up like the old music box. No, we should be wound up already, ready to go for God. Amen. This is our opportunity. Church on a Sunday morning is our opportunity for corporately to give praise to Him. Not just this church. Every church in Australia that meets today, they need to corporately give praise to God. Not sing three songs and sit down and that's your lot. No, but from their heart, express as a community our thankfulness to Him. Amen. Come on, this friends, this is true. And if you're not accepting this morning, then, and I've said a few hard things, but hey, take them. Take them from the Lord. If you're not accepting this, you will miss out. Because let me close by saying this. You know, we praise Him loudly. So if you're frightened of doing that, can I say, try it on your own, by yourself, if that's to get used to it. When you're driving your car, don't just put the music on, sing with it. And don't just sing with the music. Say, praise God. Glory to you, Jesus. I love you. You're so wonderful. So start saying it out loud. When you're by yourself, start speaking out loud. Speaking. Just don't do it in a shopping center with everybody around you. Although I suppose you can now, because this lady came in the shopping center some months ago, and she was walking down, and I thought, oh, that poor woman, she's talking to herself loudly. She was talking so loud, I thought, oh, she's talking to herself, the poor woman. And then when she got up to me, I realized she wasn't talking to herself. She got those ear things in, and she was on the phone to somebody. And loud. Everybody could hear the conversation she was having. So I thought, well, if they can do that, why can't I praise God? Why can't I sing His praises? Why should I back off from praising my Lord? He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. And so, praise is complimenting God. We praise Him in the sanctuary. We praise Him loudly. Why do we praise Him? The why. I said it's complimenting God, which it is. But why? What does that do? See, I was born again in a Pentecostal church, so we always praise God. I never learned to question why, because everybody did it. Till one day, I was on holiday, and I went into a Baptist church, and a guy preached a brilliant sermon. And I'm sitting there, and I didn't realize there was a big difference between Baptists and Pentecostals. And he's preaching, and he said something. I went, amen! Everybody turned around and looked at me, as if you could hear a pin drop. They don't do that here. I thought they don't do that. And somebody's often said to me, why do you praise God like that? God's not deaf. People have said that to me. God isn't, you know, you've got to keep... I said, listen, I praise him because the scriptures teach me to do that. But then I thought, well, why do I pray? What is it? What am I going to gain in praising God? I know what he's going to gain. He's going to gain my compliments. He's going to gain the fact that I'm speaking from my heart and I love him. I'm showing and expressing to him my love for him. But something else happens to me when I praise God. In fact, there's two things happen. Listen, the first thing that happens, I believe you create a spiritual bubble around you. You create, when you're praising God, whether it's here in the church or at home, or if you're in your garden, or if you're driving your car, you create a spiritual bubble. See, I'm looking forward to heaven. Anybody else looking forward to heaven? Those of you who haven't got your hands up, let me just say this. Heaven's better than this place. It really is. You didn't put your hand, a lot of you didn't put your hands up then. You're not looking forward to heaven? Well, you better start looking at the book of Revelation, seeing just what is facing this world without God. But then you look at the scriptures that tell us what heaven is going to be like for us. And Jesus, who said, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm coming again to receive you to myself, that where I am, you will be also. This isn't our home. We're passing through. And I said, when I was a young Christian, one of the things like Les that really disturbed me was, after I became a Christian, I was only 15, I thought I'm perfect now. I'm a Christian, I'm forgiven, I'm perfect. And I found out I wasn't. I could still sin. I could still lie, I could still cheat. I realized that I could still do things wrong. And I used to go to my pastor many times, really complaining about myself and saying, oh, pastor, it's so hard. Why am I still, I'm supposed to be saved, but can't be because I'm still sinning. And he says, yes, you are saved. You're forgiven. Past, present, future. God's so loving to you. You're forgiven. Just press in and get closer to him. And this is what I said to my pastor. I was only probably 15, going on 16. I said, I'll be so glad when I die and go to heaven. And he looked at me, for a 15-year-old to say that. I said, because I reckon in heaven, it's going to be so easy to be a Christian. That's what I said. It's a 15. I said, in heaven, it's good, because the devil's not there. His cohorts are not there. The world system is not there. There's no politics there. Come on. There's no woke. Come on. It's not there. Heaven is going to be an easy place to be a Christian. We will never sin. We'll never think evil ever again. But we're down here. And I want a bit of heaven down here. So I create that bit of heaven by praising God. A spiritual bubble. Come on. Some of you are looking at me as if what I'm saying is so foreign, you've never really thought about it. Don't you want to feel that little bubble around you of heaven now? Wouldn't you like to feel that? Come on. It's real what I'm saying. And then the second thing we praise God for is because praising God, listen to this, counterattacks all that this world and the devil throws at you. See, we're living in a world that's twisted. We're living in a world that is confused. We're living in a world that's full of doubt. We're living in a world that's got no security. We're living in a world where nations are afraid of a next world war, which to their mind could damage and destroy everything. These people are afraid in that world out there. People are confused. People are listening to all these different voices. And I'm not into politics, but just let me say this. America is supposed to be one of the leading countries in the world. And the two candidates for the leaders of the world is Biden, who ought to be in a nursing home, and Trump, who can't shut his mouth. Come on. Don't get upset with me now. I'm not being political. I'm just looking at these men and thinking, surely we could put something up better than that. But they haven't, and they can't, and they don't, because of all the complications, of all the dichotomies that are out there. You live in a world where there's so much hatred, so much violence, so much racism. Hasn't stopped. You know, everybody talks, don't, let's be racist. Don't. The world's more racist now than it had ever been. Don't let's be sexist. You know, come on. There's no unity except just confusion out there. That's all there is. And I get, because I'm a Christian and you are, every time I'm out there, that stuff gets thrown at me. Woke absolutely turns me off, wokeism. Absolutely stupid. And I've got to pander to what they're saying there in the world, which is ridiculous, stupid, irrational. I got to pander to that. No. When I praise God, it becomes a counterattack on what Satan is throwing at me, on what this world is throwing at me. I will not let this world drag me down. I will not let the devil drag me down. We sang some songs today with words like that in it, which are beautiful. Don't let the devil destroy you. Don't let the world destroy you. It wants to. The world wants to suck you in and spit you out. The devil wants to suck you in and spit you out. The devil wants to make you nothing and a nobody. And he'll do everything he can to do that. He'll either make you poor or very rich to make you a nobody. He'll make you absolutely humble so nobody knows you. Or he'll make you very famous so that you'll be a nobody. Let me just tell you, friends, there is no solutions for good living out there at all. The only person who counts is Jesus. And they curse him and they blaspheme him. And I listen sometimes to these woke people talking and these transgender idiots talking. I listen to them and they will talk about we don't appreciate their point of view. And while they're saying this, they're using the name of Jesus with the F word and they're blaspheming him and they ain't got not interested in the least that they are offending me. Come on. Who stands up for Christians? Nobody. What government stands up for the Christians? Nobody. So if we're going to get anywhere in this life, we've got to realize the one who stands up for us is Jesus. Hey, he went through it all. He went through it all. They crucified him. They beat him. They mocked him. They ridiculed him. But he rose again from the dead. And he took our sins and our sorrows. He made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary. He suffered and died alone. So I can be set free. Jesus was alone, but John Warwick has never been alone since he became a Christian. Never. I don't know what loneliness is because I've got Jesus. And he'll make sure I will never, ever be lonely. He was lonely for me, but I will never be lonely while I have him. So that's about it. I think that was a pretty good sermon. I just hope, and I thought, should we have an appeal? Then I thought, no, because it might be a bit embarrassing to give an appeal like this. Because I'm hoping, and I'm believing, that everybody here really believed what I said this morning. What do you reckon, Lord? Oh, sorry, you didn't hear me. I'm hoping, and I want to believe that everybody here believed what I said this morning. So if you don't have a lifestyle of praise, start it. You're never too old and you're never too young. You may say, well, I've got this far without it. Yeah, well, how far have you got? You need to praise him. I want you to wake up in the morning with joy in your heart. I want you to wake up in the morning with the peace of God that passes all understanding. I want you to wake up in the morning knowing that the love of God is pulsating through your being. And you do that by creating this wonderful bubble of spirituality of heaven by praising Him. You do that by praising Him. You counterattack all the negatives that you're going to see. Tomorrow you're going to see a lot of negatives. You're going to hear a lot of negatives. You're going to feel a lot of negatives. But listen, praise your way through them. Think of what I said about the plane going up through the clouds, breaking through, and the sun was shining. Hallelujah. So I'm going to close now, but the best way to close, we'll have the musicians. I want that first song. We've got 5 minutes left. But just before we sing this song, I want you to do something. I want everybody to stand. If you can stand, stand. My prayer for you all, and I've prayed this before I came to church this morning, is that you will be motivated by what this message has said, and that you'll say, yeah, Lord, I want to do that. I want to praise you more than what I've been praising you. I've been looking too much on the dark side and not enough on your light. So I want to become more of a praising person than I am. Now, is there anybody here this morning? And is there anybody here that would say to me, John, I could not praise God any more than I do. I praise Him to the absolute fullness of my being, and it is impossible for me to praise God anymore. Is anybody here like that? Well, there you go. We've got a good congregation here. They're already. So you could praise Him more? Guess what? I didn't put my hand up because I know I can praise Him more. And I want to. I want to be motivated by this message to say, God, when I leave this place, I want to start praising you more. Not just when I leave right now. I want to start praising you more than I ever have. So I'm going to count to three. And on three, I want you to start praising God. Forget the person next to you. Forget your family. Forget your friends. Forget them. I want you to see just you and God. You and Jesus. You're going to offer to Jesus the sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of your lips. It's loud. So I'm asking all of you here, just for a few seconds, to start praising God loudly. You could say, praise the Lord, amen, hallelujah, glory. I don't mind that. That's okay. That's your vocabulary of praise. That's okay. But if you've got a bigger one, you can do that as well. So are you ready? Now, I'm going to close my eyes so I can't see who isn't praising. But can I just say one thing? God's eyes aren't closed. He could see you. And not only can he see you, he can see in there, and he can see in there. So I want you to make a breakthrough this morning. If you've never done this before, out loud, I want you to do it now. So I'm going to count to three, then we're all going to praise God for all that he's worth. And you hit those instruments for all you're worth. Okay, just one, two, three. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord our God. King of kings, Lord of lords. First and last, the Alpha and the Omega. No one like you, Lord. No one in all the earth. We praise you. We bless you. We magnify the God who we love and serve and glorify. Hallelujah! Oh, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Glory. Now, listen to this. Listen. Everybody, listen to this. Next Sunday morning, when we come into church, if we start like that with the first chorus, come on. What are you saying, Pastor Pup? Won't that, you've done it now because you warmed up. Because that was good preaching, wasn't it? I felt good. But on Sunday morning when we come, let it rip before the preacher even preaches. You start praising God. And he's not going to throw you out. And listen, I know Pastor Pamela won't throw you out. Sometimes you feel like throwing you out when you're not praising, but she won't throw you out when you're praising God, because we're giving Him the best. We're giving Him the glory. Amen.